Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. How you doing? It is a mellow, actually, as far as temperature is concerned, day here, March 25th, 2023. Hope you guys are having a great day. Thank you to everyone who's supporting the podcast, who's sharing it online, listening to it, following, subscribing. Thank you so much to everybody over on Patreon. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't tell you how much your support really means. It's awesome. Thank you guys for, like, again, seriously, just tuning in every week. It's great. And it really helps boost the podcast when you guys share it, comment, rate, subscribe. You know all that stuff. You know how algorithms work. I don't have to preach to you guys. But yeah, whenever you do that, it does help raise this thing up. And it's getting there, man. It's getting there. We're coming up on, for some of you who may or may not be in nerdy / geeky circles, we're like right at the start of the convention season. Some of the more notable conventions are already happening or will be underway before I can get to them. We've seen GDC just happened a couple weeks ago. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a DICE, it's another developers conference. I believe DICE is in Germany. I can't remember for sure. But there's some other smaller conventions that pop up down here in the southeast region of the United States. And I'm hoping I can get maybe some press credentials at some point to some of this stuff. I mean, is that something you guys would be interested in? Like going to a Comic Con or a game convention or something like that and just, maybe getting a snag in an interview or two here, or at least putting some photos up for the Patreon or on Blue Sky, that I think that would be kind of fun. I haven't done that in a very long time, and I think it would be a worthwhile venture to try again. For those of you who are into nerdy stuff or geeky stuff, like comic conventions, gaming conventions, crafting and art conventions, Renaissance festivals, things like that. I actually like that kind of stuff. And I'm really excited to get back and check them out. There's another one. The last time I went to this one, it's called Hogstown. It's a little south of here from where I live in Northeast Florida. And I went about 2 years ago with one of my buddies. And it was a great time. I ran into a couple of people I knew from just the gamer scene out here in Northeast Florida. And it was a good time. Yeah, I mean, the pageantry and stuff that goes along with the Renaissance Festival wasn't quite up to what I would have hoped for. And then, again, I've been spoiled by being at some other Renaissance festivals over the years. But this one's held in a municipal park, which was not necessarily a bad choice. For one, there are concrete sidewalks there, which definitely helps with traffic flow and getting everybody around. But there's something about when a Renaissance festival kind of sets up almost a traveling minstrel show. They set up a little area. It was like building their own town in a wooded area or a pavilion surrounded by woods and brushes, brush and streams and stuff like that. There's just something about that, because it feels you got dropped off into a fantasy setting medieval town. And there's a lot of charm, I guess, that goes along with that setting. You think about movies you've seen, period pieces or fantasy dramas that are set in that sword and sorcery kind of world. There's something charming about a little hamlet that's got an inn and a tavern and shops. There's a blacksmith, there's a baker. The one I went to years ago when I was a very young man, they actually had their own little brothel. You weren't actually allowed to do anything there, obviously. It was just a setup kind of thing where it was just a showpiece more than anything else, And they had a blacksmith who was actually making swords and axes and all kinds of other cool gear. And he brought his wares so you could buy them. And that same thing happened at Hogstown, but it was just on a much smaller, it felt like a smaller production. Because of the, like I said, that lack of setting and scenery, but it was a cool event. It was in a much more sprawling area, I think, is what made it look so much bigger. So it kind of lost that more connected sense of, walking through a medieval village kind of thing. But nonetheless, I mean, it was still a cool thing. I'd like to go to that. I'd like to go to PAX East or PAX West or, one of those PAX conventions. It always seems like such a great time, and I've known people over the years who've gone, and Yeah, I know it's a super nerdy thing to bring up at the beginning, but like this is that season for that stuff, you know? And part of me was thinking, you know, if I could afford to swing one of those, just like one or two every year, that would be like my vacation, sort of, like a working vacation kind of thing. And I don't know what it would take to impress a panel of people who would decide, like whoever it is, like the panel that decides this person gets a press pass, this person does not. You know, I don't know if anybody even does like a discounted rate for press to come to cover their events. I mean, I would love to do that. I don't know that I'd be able to, but you know, who knows? This is just me spitballing anyway. Just trying to think about some cool stuff to bring to the podcast, some new stuff, like inject a little bit of fresh content into it as far as in terms of just the variety of things that I talk about. I mean, that would be cool, right? You know, when somebody goes on a cool vacation, they can't wait to tell you all about it. Like, I would love to be able to not only do that, but show you a little bit, you know, take some photographs, take some video. Maybe if I luck up, like I said, luck up on an interview with the developer or something, that would be amazing. And, you know, maybe who knows? Maybe it parlay itself into some actual voice acting work. Because I tried that site again, voices.com. And this is not a promotional thing for them, because it was actually nothing to promote, to be quite honest. Largely the jobs that are there, like a lot of jobs everywhere, are kind of being run over by, you know, people using them as a way to pull AI, basically AI algorithmic fodder. So they're asking voice actors to go and read like these scripts, and then they'll scrape the audio and use it to train their voice acting, their AI voice actors, which I find is a really scuzzy practice. You know what I mean? One, we already know how I feel about AI, and I'm sure some of you out there do too, that it's, you know, it scrapes away the creativity and the nuance of creativity that a person brings to a particular art form. But the real scuzzy thing about it is how they do it. They basically will drop like, oh, well, they make it sound really good. Like, we'll hit you with like $500 to read this 3-minute script, and then we own the rights to your voice to do this for in perpetuity. So if you're a company B, let's say you're company AI, right? And company AI decides to hire a bunch of voice actors, scrape their voices, use their voices to train their robot model to speak. Cool. They give you $500 and take a walk. Now, if their voice becomes, let's say, for example, the voice of a thing like an Alexa or a Siri, right? Now, all of a sudden, you know, you're one of those selectable voices, like how they used to do for Waze, where they'd have like, you know, an actor supposedly read those lines and whatnot. They did the same kind of thing, but it was that one person. And that person probably gets some royalties from that voice being downloaded and used, right? But this one is different. They're like, we'll pay you $500 to fuck off. So you get $500, they get to make how many untold thousands, maybe even, you know, tens of thousands of dollars by people using your voice on all of the different platforms where they decide to put that voice. And I find that really scummy. So I won't be using them anymore. I tried to pull a couple of jobs from them, and I applied for a few of them, and the ones I heard back from were also doing the same kind of thing. Even if they had like a legitimate voice acting job, it would seem, they were also trying to be like, all right, we're going to pay you, you know, $700 or, you know, $800 to do this one thing, and then that's it. It lives in our pocket for the rest of eternity, and you get nothing else out of it, which I always felt was kind of dirty. You know what I mean? Like, you could pay me less to do the initial reads and whatnot, but like at least cut me in with points or something like that. You know what I mean? That points on the package thing from The Wire. You know, like, do it like a drug deal, man. I've helped bring some flavor and creativity and some depth and nuance to this character that you're having me read, or to this text that you want me to read. But you pay me this one-time fee, and then it's like, yeah, go fuck yourself. But you're going to still benefit from using my voice. You know, you could pay me a little bit less and say like, you know, okay, so as long as we continue to use your voice for this agreed upon amount of time, you know, if we, as our profit shares up, we'll pay you like additional, you know, maybe like every year is like 0.25% for X, Y, or Z. You know, there's got to be a way to leverage that a little bit and say like, you know, if it's not for my voice, you maybe don't have a piece of, you know, audio or whatever that's entertaining or intriguing or engaging. And without the benefit of that work and that effort and that talent, like, you don't have quite the product that you once had. Sure, it's still the product is the product, but there's a little bit of extra zhuzh that goes into it. And I mean, it wouldn't hurt you to break off a little bit of change every now and again. Shit, make the contract for, like, you know, 2 years or something like that. For the next 2 years, we'll use your voice. It'll be the voice of, you know, product X. And then up until that point, you'll collect what you collect. And then after that, we call it a day. I would not be upset about that. And I think it'd be a more conscionable way to do that. Even if you're going to end up keeping it in, you know, we say in perpetuity, but at least for like a couple years, you get a little bit of a cut out of this, right? I mean, as far as like acting is going, it's really refreshing to see properties that are actually employing human beings to do work. And that's tough. It's tough because there's a lot of ways that automation can be a good thing if it's used ethically. But I find that that's not the case. I'm sure you guys probably do too. Have you seen any other examples of that? Like, I know you have, but like, was there one that maybe you think is a little bit more deep cut that I'm not aware of? Send me a message over on Patreon for free. Patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. It is absolutely free to join and send an email over there. And it's the best way to get in touch with me. And I'll read your email on the air. And trust me, as always, unless you ask me to, I won't say who you are. But yeah, I think there's more profitable and also beneficial ways to cultivate that kind of culture, and get that kind of content and that extra, you know, live performance kind of thing from a human being that would be ultimately beneficial to everyone. Then again, I'm also kind of a dreamer, so who knows, man? Who knows? Maybe I'm just talking out of my ass cheeks right now. But I do think that there's a way. And it's funny because you start to see, as people are leaning into AI, the cost of like components and, you know, motherboards and memory and all these other necessary parts to basically make the AI live, so to speak, those costs go up and they get definitely handed down to consumers, which is why if you're trying to build a PC in 2026, good luck. We're looking at some RAM prices and it's like you have to start your own OnlyFans to be able to afford a PC now. It's like, I didn't even want to do this, but I mean, if I'm going to afford this, you know what I mean? I'm going to have to either do something illicit or something that I don't necessarily agree with to get that money. Because a regular 9-to-5 just ain't going to cut it. You're just not going to make the kind of money you need to build a PC, it seems like. It's funny, though, that other companies are feeling the crunch and they're finding ways to squeeze people. And it's really sick and sad, but it is a thing. Some of you may be familiar with the television brand Vizio. I believe for a while Vizio as a brand was owned by Sony. And at some point in the interim, between like the first time I heard of them and like this past year or two, they were acquired by Walmart, which is why if you go into Walmart now, you'll see the Vizio televisions all over the place. I never really thought much about it. I thought it was just like, oh, this is just an imprint of Sony that's being sold here in Walmart. No, they own it. And now they've made it so that first you had to have a Vizio account in order to access certain features and whatnot of the television sets themselves. And in so doing, they were like, well, and also on top of that, we need to be able to send targeted marketing because there it is, right? We need to make sure we have all the pennies in our pockets. So all the ads that you're going to get are be cultivated by what you watch, you know, the apps that you use on your television and so forth. It's like, come on, dude. Isn't it enough that a decent flat screen TV is going to cost you almost as much as a used car? Like, how much more of the money do you have to, I mean, I've said it before, are they eating the money? Is that why the Federal Reserve stopped printing pennies? It's like, it's costing us too much to keep making change, you know, the mint. And it stopped, like, they're like, we're not doing pennies anymore. Was it really ever that expensive? Was it that bad for pennies? I mean, it could be. I sincerely think that if you scrape them all out of every wishing well and mall fountain and off of every train track in the United States, you'd probably be able to put enough copper and whatnot back into the mint and the pennies wouldn't be such a big deal. I do think it'd be cooler if we were able to print like a more uniform kind of coin, or at least something that was like intriguing, you know, like I get the coins being round, all that jazz. I mean, that's cute. That's great. I just wonder what would it take for people to go back to cash? Is it really just like so hard for people to deal with cash and change and whatnot? I don't know. I mean, honestly, I grew up with cash all the time. And while I don't necessarily keep a stack of cash on me, that's just crazy. I used to always have like a, you know, couple, two, three, four, $5 in my pocket, handful of mixed change or something, just in case. And it's still a thing that's ingrained in me. So I definitely have like a little change jar in my house. You know, if I think I might need some, you know, some coins for like a trip or whatever, you know, I'll put like a, you know, couple dimes and quarters and nickels into, you know, the little ashtray in the car, you know, or like, you know, I'll put them in like a little pouch and take them with me, you know, like a little Crown Royal bag. Like you usually use it to hold Crown Royal or hold your dice if you're a Dungeons and Dragons player. But sometimes I'll put like a bunch of coins in there and that actually feels good. Back in the day, I used to get like the gold dollars. I don't know if anybody else ever got the Sacagawea dollars, but I used to at least once a month just buy like a roll of gold coin, those gold dollars. And this is back when I was, you know, living in Chicago. And when I'd go out to a bar, I'd put like, you know, $10 worth of those coins in my pocket. And I would use those to tip bartenders. You have like maybe you have like a five or whatever, but I throw a couple of little, you know, five or a couple of ones. I throw a couple of those coins on top and it's cool. I don't know why. It makes you feel like you discovered like pirate treasure. Again, like that medieval fantasy thing. Like, oh, look at this. I've got this awesome, you know, stack of gold coins. You kind of feel like somebody like in an Old West cartoon, like Old West movie or something like that, where the guy's got like a gold nugget and he just rolls it across the counter. And, you know, or like, you know, you're in a medieval tavern again. Like I like that example. You have like a satchel full of gold coins and you just hand them out and just like shing. Somebody's like, oh, fancy, you got gold. It wasn't really gold, but I mean, you know what I get, you know what I'm saying? It felt cool. It had weight, you know what I mean? And there was like an impact to having that little pouch of coins. So I was like, well, look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants. I'm like, I know. I'm really just a broke dude just like the rest of you. But it's fun to have this little, you know, image in my head. I know how goofy it sounds, but it's exactly what I was hoping for. Like that actually makes me feel like, yeah, that's I mean, it's little things. Little things that make you smile. Anyway, I got off track about the technology thing. I mean, the Vizio thing. I mean, I wouldn't buy a Vizio now if you paid me. They would literally have to pay me to buy one. But, you know, that kind of goes against the plot. But, I mean, there's other great brands out there who aren't doing this. I mean, I think TCL is probably one of those brands that, like, not a lot of people paid attention to. Then they started coming into their own because they were making quality televisions at, like, a quote-unquote budget price. And those things last forever, you know? I actually had an Emerson television. I think I may have given that one to my mom or something like that. But that television lasted for over a decade, and it worked great. And the funny thing about it was I had it in storage in a U-Haul unit, like not one of the climate controlled cool like nice ones. It was just in a friggin U-Haul unit in a row of like basically like repurposed storage containers, so this thing could have very easily cooked to death. But that bad boy ran after being in a storage unit for like a year and a half, and I finally got it out. I'm like, this thing still works. Emerson, who would have thought, you know? It was a fantastic television. And I guess we don't make anything here, so I mean who's to say that it would have lasted another 5-10 years before handing it off to somebody or eventually, you know, having to scrap it or something, which is a heartbreaker. Because you know it's just gonna end up in a landfill somewhere. But you know, that's one of those conversations about like what's sustainable when it comes to technology. I still want that Fairphone, at least to try it out. I do like that idea. And we were talking about technology. I just saw this the other day that the FCC is elected to ban routers that are not made in the United States. And my comment to the buddy that put that post up was basically like as me talking to the FCC. It's like, where the fuck are we supposed to get the routers? We don't make anything here in the United States. That's one of the biggest complaints people have is that manufacturing jobs are being shifted overseas and there's nothing being built or made here. And certainly not made to last if it's made here. And if it's made here, generally speaking, it's expensive as hell. And I mean, I'm all for paying the American worker because that actually makes sense, right? But the reason it costs more is because the CEOs are, you know, not going to take a pay cut to pay their workers or to make things any way, shape, or form more affordable for the average consumer, which is, again, such a backwards model of thinking. Like, if you make things more affordable, more people will have the ability to buy them. You know what I mean? Affordable doesn't necessarily have to mean cheap, as in, you know, chintzy or poorly constructed or poorly designed. You can make things affordable and still have a quality product. But even if it doesn't last like 20 years, or for example, if it lasted 10, like that Emerson television, and it didn't cost, you know, your mortgage payment to get one, you'd be like, I wouldn't mind maybe buying three of these. You know, have one for my room, one for the living room, one for a guest room. As opposed to spending $3,000 on one TV, you know what I mean? I have that same $3,000, but I could buy four of these. You know what I mean? Like, I could buy like, maybe not four. You could buy like three of these TVs, $2,400. You still got some money left over. You might buy some other shit too. And it helps stimulate the economy. That's the same argument I have with microtransactions in video games. But I mean, that's just it seems like a very basic economic concept that I don't understand why more people who are, you know, CEOs and COOs and CFOs don't pay attention to and go like, hey, you know, if we make our product a little bit more affordable, the average American could buy it. You know what I mean? As opposed to making this one product that costs fucking $12,000 and maybe like we'll sell eight over the course of a month. If we cut the price in like half even, you know, we might sell at least like 20 to 30% more of these units. And it's funny that that's kind of the thing we're talking about, because I saw this story about Nintendo saying that they're not going to be shipping. They're cutting their shipments to the United States by a third of the Nintendo Switch, because they're saying that the sales in the United States are way below projected numbers. So we're not going to send as many. The scarcity is not going to make it better. You know, this is a failure of imagination on Nintendo's part too. One, the Nintendo Switch costs an inordinate amount of money. Not to mention all the peripherals. God forbid you want to buy like a pro controller instead of using the Joy-Cons for the thing. I'm old school. I do like my pro controllers, you know, the actual old school, like hold it in your hand, you know, brick style controllers, the thumbsticks. They're so good. There was nothing wrong with this design. But yeah, even Nintendo, like they're sucking it up right now. And part of that, I'll be honest with you, is that you basically made a Switch, not two, but like a Switch version 1.4 or something like that. It's like only a fair to minor upgrade on the Nintendo Switch itself. And then you jammed in a bunch of other feature sets that nobody was really screaming for. I mean, gamers spoke pretty loudly when they said they didn't want the Xbox Kinect for the 360. Basically, for those of you who don't know, it's like a motion tracking camera with a microphone on it that was always watching you when it was plugged in, and no one liked it. Almost everybody, I mean, when I worked at GameStop for a little while, the amount of Kinects that were available could have been converted into, I mean, CCTV cameras for an entire warehouse. I mean, there were stacks and stacks and stacks of these things that nobody wanted. They could barely even give them away. So they were like, hey, if you bought a Nintendo, if you bought an Xbox and you wanted to connect with it, they would almost give it to you. And people were like, I don't want that shit. So now Nintendo goes, you know what people want? A giant stupid camera that sits on a little wand that you can look at and produces video the same way like a Nokia cell phone recorded video. It's super pixelated. It's very grainy and buggy. And then, of course, the microphone's built onto the thing and into the controller. So now you got to talk into your hands. Like, no, dude. just put an HDMI, like put like a HDMI, put a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack into the Pro Controller or a USB-C jack into the Pro Controller and let us use the audio that way. You'll sell headsets too. People would buy Nintendo themed headsets if you just made it available for the Nintendo Switch controllers. That's a thing that would happen. I was looking to replace my current controller and I went to the store, $80. $80 for a piece of tech that's, I mean, almost a decade old. Like the Pro Controllers came out back around, I think the Switch launched in 2017. So this console, it just the Switch itself is almost a decade old. The controllers were right on the heels of it, if not at launch. So they were still like the same price they've always been. But the idea of spending $80 for a controller that basically, I mean, it's essentially just like your television remote. You know what I mean? You can make the thing do the stuff, but you can't, you know, talk into this thing. You can't plug it in and, you know, hear the gameplay in just your head. You know, like sometimes I want to play Switch in the living room, but maybe my wife is asleep or maybe there's people around, you know, and or, you know, whatever. Maybe it's like super early in the morning. And again, my wife is sleeping. I'm not trying to wake her up. I'm not trying to disturb the world by having the TV up loud. I'm also not trying to strain my ears to hear it when it's turned down so low you can barely whisper the dialogue. I mean, I think that would be a very simple, and I don't know why nobody's ever beaten somebody in Nintendo over the head with this idea, very simple solution. Hey, man, make this thing work with the audio jack and a headset. Like, people would buy this. And you imagine somebody sitting around with, like, you know, a pair of Mario-themed headphones that are connected into their Pro Controller. That's like a Mario themed controller. You could sell themed packs of these things and people will buy them. They want the stuff. They want the gear. And some people will be super fans. Like, you sell a Nintendo Switch that's dolled up to look like it fell out of Hyrule from The Legend of Zelda. Imagine selling that, you know, hunter green controller with green detailing and gold buttons, you know, and a headset to match with a Triforce on the side. Bro, my name's Link. I would buy that, and I don't even play Zelda games like that. I would just probably buy it just for the fucking novelty, you know? And like a fool and their money are soon parted. Yeah, I'm a fool for that kind of stuff. I would do it. Make it make sense. Make it at least marginally affordable, and people will throw money at it. I don't know what I have to say. I don't know who I have to say it to, but it's crazy that that's a thing that we have to think about. I mean, just in gaming and, you know, whatever, but that's just me, because I am a gamer and I love that hobby. I love that industry. I want to work in it. And it just, I see some stupid decisions being made. And I'm like, why are we doing this? Come on, guys, you can be better. You can do it. It is making me think that maybe we should start doomsday prepping instead of like living our lives. I don't know. Get some solar panels, a couple of crank powered radios. Build your own little water distillation, you know, plant some vegetables and fruit in your backyard, something. I was actually talking to our buddy down the street, who's our landscaper as well, and he was talking about like the craziness of them working on their garden. And I'm like, you know, as nutty as that sounds, as much work as it sounds like the rewards far outweigh the effort. It's one of those ideas that we're going to be looking into, you know, building like some small little planter boxes and whatnot where we can plant our own, you know, tomatoes and berries and maybe get a couple of fruiting trees, you know. I wouldn't mind having a tree that had some, you know, oranges or lemons or avocados in the backyard. Growing some onions and some jalapenos. I can make my own salsa on a regular basis. Imagine having a little greenhouse box where I could just grow my own tomatoes and peppers. That would be awesome. It'd be so cool. I would go back to that. I mean, I'll go back to making salsa on a regular basis, you know? I mean, if the operation worked out like that, I could make that a real side hustle. That'd be dope. It would be great to make some more guacamole. I made some this week, and my neighbors and wife ate that. My wife doesn't even really like guacamole like that. She was messing that shit up. So I'm like, I had to look at this avocados and tomatoes thing in the backyard, bro. Imagine having fresh guacamole on demand, basically, every week, you know? I mean, you need it every like 2 days because guacamole has the shelf life of, you know, milk in the Sahara Desert. But I mean, it'd be cool. And speaking of gaming, I was actually playing some Overwatch with my homie Sam. And we've been on the struggle bus, man. Overwatch, especially the competitive aspect, is super competitive. And I was getting myself dog walked for a hot minute there. But I stuck with it. I didn't chimp. I didn't like cheap out. I didn't skimp on trying. And ended up hitting gold placements, which was wild for me, in all three character classes. If you're not playing Overwatch or don't know anything about it, it's going to go right over your head. But basically, there are three character types. There's a support type that does healing for the team. There's a tank type that is supposed to be on the front line and absorb damage to protect the team. And then there's the DPS, or the damage per second characters that deal damage. And I managed to place gold rank 2 in Overwatch, which is like the ranks go from 5 to 1, 1 being the best, 5 being the lowest. So I managed to rank gold 2 in that. And I was like, that's actually pretty impressive. For me personally, I was like, all right, I'm down with that. And then I went to the tank section, and up like gold rank 4, something like that. So not super great, but still gold. You know, I wasn't the worst, but I wasn't the greatest. And then even into DPS, I started finally. That was the last one I had to clean up, because it's basically 10 matches that you have to play for each of those classes to get your placement. It's like letting you know, like, on an average, this is how good this person is at this particular role. And I ended up gold in everything. I think it was like gold rank 2 or 3 in DPS. So, you know, gold rank Overwatch player here. Pretty stoked about that. That was pretty awesome. Got a really great compliment from one of the last matches I played as a tank, where I was like just telling everybody, like, hey, because somebody was like, a match or two before that was like, you suck. You should quit playing. This is always the kind of person, too, who is terrible at the character they're playing, or is playing their character completely wrong. They're wondering why they're getting murdered a lot. And it's like, dude, you're supposed to be our healer, but you're out here running in front of it, all the bullets like you're a DPS or a tank. And that's why you keep getting shot. That's why you don't get heals. That's why you don't get any buffs or protection. It's because you're way away from everybody as the healer. You're supposed to be back here keeping us alive, dude. So that happened. And then another player that was on my team, actually, I was like, hey, man, just so you know, new to this, I haven't played competitive Overwatch in, I mean, seriously, probably since like the first 2 years of Overwatch existing. And I'm just trying to get my sea legs here. And we steamrolled this team. Like, I don't know who these amazing Wonder Ninjas were, but they were absolutely fantastic. And they were working the flow, and they were staying in the pocket. You know, I'm focusing on keeping everybody safe behind me. They're keeping me alive. The damaged people are like, oh, the tank is drawing all the aggro, so everybody's focused on the tank to try to kill the tank and the healer behind the tank. So now we can creep around and shoot them in the back and take over the team. We're winning. The strategies are just flowing. No one's even talking to each other. They're just seeing how people are playing. They're like, oh, you understand the assignment. Let's go. And one of the guys was like, hey, D.Va, you're doing a great job. You're crushing it. Keep it up. I'm like, that felt really good. I felt really good. You know, you don't get a lot of those positive, you don't get a lot of positive comments on the internet or in gaming, generally speaking, in competitive or, you know, multiplayer stuff. But it was really nice to see somebody go out of their way to thank you. And the whole team was like going, thanks, you know, acknowledged, you know, thumbs up and everything like that. And they were just really positive. They were super good, very skilled. And because they were so skilled, like, I got to stand like shoulder to shoulder with the best of the best on as a tank with the damage dealers and with the healers, because I was actually able to do some healing basically by virtue of assisting the healer. So I got like points for healing because I'm married up with the healer who's protected by me. Super cool. Anyway, that was me just kind of geeking out for a little bit. That was really fun for me. I had a great time with that, and I really enjoyed that. And I'm really excited for this week of gaming. I'm excited for today's stream and for the stream on Friday. If you're listening to this right now, I probably won't be streaming on Saturday because a friend of mine is having a birthday party and I promised I would go. So I won't be streaming Saturday, but I'll try to see if I can make that up at some point. I mean, I haven't really decided what I'm going to do with that yet, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. And I will do a giveaway stream at some point in the next week. I just have to figure out when. Let's do some shout outs, some other shout outs and some news. We're getting some new stuff in here. Trust me, it's not all gloom and doom. But some of it is kind of sad. I'll probably heard by now that Chuck Norris passed away at age 86. I've heard so many people talk about, like, you know, I didn't even know who he was. I never paid attention to him. Like, sometimes I feel like that kind of thing comes on the back of, like, I just want to seem like I don't care about celebrities. I'm like, listen, this isn't just a celebrity. Chuck Norris is like a cultural icon for America. Granted, his MAGA shit and that didn't really rub anybody the right way. But before all that was a thing, back in the 80s, you know, in the 80s to the early 90s, Chuck Norris was everywhere. And so, yeah, it sucks that, you know, sometimes, I mean, also he's an older white guy. And this is not a knock on older white guys, but a lot of times you'll find that no matter who you are, you get a little older, you're set in your ways and you're set in your ideologies and you become pretty inflexible. For a guy who was known for his roundhouse kicks and that kind of jazz, he was fairly inflexible in some of his political views, you know. But I mean, I can't deny the man's body of work. I can't deny the impact he had on martial arts and film and pop culture in general. You've never heard Chuck Norris facts. You literally have not been paying attention to the internet. The whole list of Chuck Norris facts is that Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth down. Chuck Norris was once bit by a rattlesnake, and after 3 days of agonizing pain, the rattlesnake died. Chuck Norris once peed into an aluminum can, and they closed it up and sold it accidentally, and they called it Red Bull. It's shit like that. You know what I mean? You've heard those Chuck Norris facts, I'm sure. But it's always funny to me when people are like, ugh, I just don't pay attention to that. I'm like, oh, good for you. What do you want, a fucking cookie? Like, I didn't know one of the most culturally significant martial artists and actors of the last 3 decades. I'm so cool. Really? Really? As a nerd, you're a fucking dork. Like, it's not cool to pretend like things that were cool aren't cool. You know what I mean? There's a certain degree of arrogance that goes into that. It just rubs me the wrong way. You know, that's like somebody going like, and I'm an older dude, and somebody going like, oh my God, BTS is doing their reunion show on Netflix. And I go like, oh, BTS, like, who cares? I never paid attention to them. I didn't. Not that I didn't care. I mean, it's a K-pop band. They make good music. I've listened to some of their songs before over the years. I just wasn't focused on them, but I'm not going to be like, ugh, whatever. It's awesome. These dudes did their mandatory service for the South Korean army. They got done with their service. They all went together. I don't know if they went to the same unit, but they all went and did it at the same time so they could get it done, so they could come back and make music. And they did. And apparently it's on Netflix. I mean, there was a live show. I'm sure you could probably watch the rebroadcast later now on Netflix. But yeah, I wouldn't be like, oh, whatever, BTS, who cares? I don't know, half the fucking world. You know what I mean? So many people I've seen just driving around either listening to BTS, or they got BTS bumper stickers or logo merch, you know, all kinds of stuff. I know who they are. I'm not going to pretend like I didn't care and I didn't have any idea what they were about. Get out of here with that. And a quick Google search could educate you even if you didn't. But anyway, that's just, you know, that's me carping. The other one that was kind of a little bit more impactful was Sam Keith, the creator of a comic book called The Max. And also, I did not know this, the co-creator of Sandman comic books. If you guys aren't familiar, The Sandman is actually now a Netflix show. It's a fantastic show, by the way. If you haven't seen it, it's actually really worth a watch just for its literary impact. Forget about all the accusations of Neil Gaiman. We weren't there. I'm not going to judge that man's, you know, bad behavior. I'm not going to weigh it's his bad behavior against the quality of the product itself. Like, the Sandman books were just objectively well-written books. The art was interesting and unique. And the Sandman Mystery Theater show, it's not called the Sandman Mystery Theater show, but the Sandman show is a phenomenal piece of art. I really enjoyed it. And it's very sad to know that Sam Keith passed away and relatively young at 63. But I remember reading The Max back in the day too. It is such a, he had such a weird and unique art style. And it was really just kind of funky and very loose pencil work and like even looser inking work. Like the brush strokes that he used were like fat and billowy, but then there would be like such fine detail that was just kind of pinned in underneath the pencil work. His use of like cross-hatching, pointillism shading. It was weird. He would use pointillism and like basically like a stippling work, but like basically it looked like he would like flick ink onto a canvas, and that would be like where he'd get some of his spatter and stuff. It was just, I mean, I thought it was legendary work. But you know, rest in peace to Sam Keith as well. Another actor and creator gone. Not actor, but like another creative person gone. Also Robert Mueller, who was famously part of Trump's cabinet first go around, and then also wrote the Mueller report, where he was kind of digging at, you know, the Trump 1.0 version. Passed away this past week at 81. And of course, in typical presidential fashion, President Trump said, "Good, I'm glad he's dead." Wow, just what a guy. We couldn't have asked for a better one, right? Yeesh, he's just bad. There's no way around it. He's just bad. I couldn't imagine that. Well, here's the thing. I couldn't have imagined it like 10 years ago. Maybe 6 years ago, I'm like, if he said it, I'm like, did he mean it that way? And if he says it, I'm like, yeah, he definitely said that shit. As we're sitting here today, I'm like, I'm not surprised that he says any of the ridiculous shit he says. I mean, we've heard about the way that he talked about Rob Reiner and his wife when they were murdered by their son. He couldn't wait to shit on these two people who were murdered by their own kid. Even if he didn't like them, because they were Robert Reiner was definitely an opponent of Trump. The very least you could have done is, you know, like my mom says, and like you've heard a million times, if you have nothing nice to say, just don't say anything at all. Just don't acknowledge it. You're not called upon to comment, you know, to do commentary on it. You didn't do a movie with Rob Reiner. You know what I mean? You weren't part of his production company. You don't have to say anything about Rob Reiner dying, but instead you used it as an opportunity to shit on him and his wife, to basically make fun of them being murdered, and then also blame Democrats for it somehow. All right, whatever. But this is the same dickhead who wants to put ICE in American airports, and has already done so, with the claim that he pointed out said point blank while he's being interviewed, "ICE is going to love it. They're going to be able to arrest people when they come into the country." Really? That was your big takeaway from that? You wanted to have ICE in the airport so they could arrest people? And they're not doing anything. Like, a lot of the videos and photos that you're seeing are either ICE just standing around doing nothing, or standing way too close to people who are going through TSA lines, looking over their shoulders like they're gonna do something. It's like, dude, back the fuck up. I'm just taking off my shoes. All right? I don't want to be doing this any more than, you know, anybody else, but I definitely don't want to be doing it with you creepy people looking over my shoulder. But, you know, not for nothing, like, you know, we said that the cruelty is their cause, right? It's just the idea of being cruel and being oppressive and being in somebody's business for no reason other than just to do it, you know, just to be a looky-loo. You know, go buy some fucking shoes for the rest of your cabinet, dude. I don't know if you guys saw that. He's buying fucking these Florsheim shoes for everyone. And he get them in the wrong size. It's like he got Marco Rubio they were like almost literally comically large. The memes about Marco Rubio wearing this shit, sitting in this shoe like he's going down the luge at the Winter Olympics was awesome. There's one that shows him like in the shoe, but it looks like he's trying to row across the Delaware like George Washington. Oh, that gave me life. Then, of course, you've got Lauren. And this is a line from Chip Franklin from Really American Media on YouTube. You can check them out. That guy's awesome. Lauren, good with her hands, Boebert, was flat out lying about the ICE deployments to airports by saying that, you know, where other airports have 3-hour wait times for a TSA, here at the Minneapolis airport, it's only 5 minutes. Well, and the ICE agents were there to make it go smoothly. Huh? Isn't that weird? What do Democrats have to say about that? Nothing giggles a lot because they weren't fucking there. And at the time that she made that stupid ass lie, they asked the people like had asked Department of Homeland Security, like, do you have plans to deploy ICE to Minneapolis? And they were like, no, we don't want that smoke again, because they remember what happened the last time they were there, and they murdered innocent civilians and took away a bunch of innocent people in handcuffs, women, children, gassing people. You know, it was a shit show for the Trump administration and for DHS in particular, and ICE more pointedly. So yeah, she just lied right out the front of her face hole, just lied. And that's another thing that we've noticed too, is that there's a whole lot of lying going on. And it's everywhere in this administration, so it's not new. I mean, Mark Wayne Mullen just got confirmed to lead DHS now that Kristi Noem has been put out to pasture for whatever this is, Operation Shield of the West or whatever the fuck, that this new cabinet appointment that Trump cooked up. Yeah, and the Democrats are a bunch of lying assholes too. It's on both sides of the aisle. It's nothing new. A couple of Senate Democrats actually helped vote to confirm this bag of shit rage monster. If you don't remember Mark Wayne Mullen, he tried to fight a union president during a Senate hearing before he was actually confirmed. Before he's confirmed as DHS, this is a couple years back. He challenged this dude to a fist fight in the middle of the hearing, and Bernie Sanders had to even yell at him, like, sit down, you're a United States Senator, sit down, what are you doing? But he was like, yeah, you want to go outside, buddy? We can do this right now. I'm like, dude, you couldn't make it in MMA, so that's why you decided to go someplace else where you could bully people, the Senate. And I don't know about you, if I find the video, if I put it up, I saw the dude he was talking shit to. I wouldn't try to throw knuckles against this cat. This dude don't look like he can't fight. He's got that thick brow ridge and that kind of like beefy like shoulders and thick neck. This dude has taken a bat to the back of the head at least once or twice during his life, you know, in like a fight or something at a bar when he was younger. This dude don't look like he can't fight. He looks like if he puts the mitts on you, you might need to call a fucking, you know, you might need to call an orthopedic surgeon later, because he's going to turn you into a pretzel. I would have actually kind of liked to see him fight Mark Wayne, just so Mark Wayne could get bounced around, like when Thor grabbed Loki in Avengers and just banged him around the floor, just bam, 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 bam. I'm like, ooh. And he did that on the Senate floor. Them floors got, man, they got tile in there. Ain't a lick of carpet in there nowhere. And if it's carpet, it's that real thick Berber carpet. So you know he got rug burn all over him. His shit hit the ground and went right to the concrete foundation, just plug out. Ooh, Ellie. But you know, there's always one. Adam Schiff walking up to shake hands with him like, congratulations on your appointment. Get the fuck out of here. And then Martin Heinrich, who's allegedly a Democrat from New Mexico, confirms Mark Wayne Mullen the same way you would pick like your friend at dodgeball. That's how he voted for him.
Like, he's my friend, so I want him to be on my team.
Bro. Come on, dog. Come on, man. Like, this is... You got to knock this shit off, man. This glad handing and just like this favoritism kind of shit going on. It's ultimately like nepotism light. But
he's my buddy. I'm so excited from having this appointment. He's definitely got the chops as needed to run the Department of Homeland Security.
No, I've got a better chance at running DHS better than Mark Wayne Mullen. And I don't know shit about Department of Homeland Security. I know how to do security. I've been a security officer. You ran it the way I had to run protocols back when I was doing that shit. Yeah, I definitely could do it. I've actually done that job. So in that way, maybe I am more qualified than Mark Wayne Mullen. Maybe I should have thrown my hat in the arena. I just wouldn't have wanted to work for the Trump administration, though. But in all honesty, what I would be doing would be working for the American people as opposed to being at, you know, under the thumb of Trump. He'd have to fire me. I'm like, I'm not going to do your weird shit. I'm going to do the stuff that I need to do to protect the American people. And that's it. When I do no extra stuff, anybody is doing that shit on my watch, I'm having you pulled and I'm going to have you prosecuted, because I'm not going to go down as that guy. So if I'm going to get fired for this shit, at least I'm going to get fired for doing something right by the American people. That's just me, though. You know? But they're a bunch of liars, too. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is they don't want to be caught, you know, basically, you know, saying one thing and doing the other. But they're doing it right out in front of the whole world to see. And it's more apparent now than ever. It's crazy that we're seeing it. Just more prevalent. I guess it's just, it's so weird to think that this is where our country's come to. I am stoked about one great thing, though, when it comes to the news, is Afro Man, a champion of free speech. So, I mean, I think I mentioned him in the last podcast. We talked about just the lawsuit that was brought against him by the sheriff's office in his county in Ohio. They raided his home under basically false pretense from a warrant that had a baseless warrant from a judge that just wanted to fuck with the black dude. Kicked down his door, walked into his house with guns drawn, terrorized his kids, stole money out of his house. They said they were claiming it as evidence. They stole money, and then they only returned like a portion of it. Like, they returned most of it except for like $400. That just disappeared. He never getting that back. So Afroman does what rappers do when you fuck with them. Wrote a bunch of diss tracks about him over the last 3 years. This incident took place like in, I think it was late 2022, and over the last 3 years, he's been putting out songs about. And I mentioned him last podcast. He put out a bunch of songs about it, and he won the case. Like, I think it was like the day after I did the last podcast, he won. And the judge threw the entire thing out without prejudice. Like, no, we're done. This is ridiculous. The fact that you punk ass police officers wanted to cry and bitch and moan about him talking shit about you when you abuse this man's, you know, constitutional rights and his privacy. You want to say now that your privacy should be respected. He owes you $3.9 million. Fuck out of here. So the judge threw that shit out. And it was amazing to watch him not only win the case, but wear the American flag pattern suit with the American flag sunglasses that he wore in most of these videos that he made. Lemon pound cake. Randy. What is it? Randy Walters is a son of a bitch. Ooh. By the way, these are not nice songs. Everything he's saying, I don't know if it's true or not. It's definitely designed to get a rise out of these people. I'm not going to sing any more of that Randy Walters song, but if you've looked it up on YouTube, you know it's kind of, the beat's kind of a bop. Like I said, the lemon pound cake one is great. And there's like Lick 'em Low Lisa's another one. That lady, she got done dirty, bro. I don't want to be on Afro Man's bad side. By the way, if you're out in here, Afro, I've been rocking with you for a while. I didn't know you were still doing music, but I'm going back to add your stuff to my catalog. I don't want any of that Afro Man smoke. and he's not even really doing rap anymore. He's basically like mostly singing through all this stuff. And he's got this really resonant baritone / bass voice. That if he really leaned into it, he could be like the Weird Al version of Barry White. You know what I mean? Just making parody songs and diss tracks on people. But he has like a really rich sounding voice. And so I was dying laughing. And I'm very happy that he won that case. And it's another win for freedom of speech and, you know, for the protection of your constitutional freedoms. Your right to like not be harassed by a bunch of, you know, asshole cops who are going to lie about what they did. Their involvement, the amount of stuff that happened. The one dude, Randy Mullins, was Mark Wayne Mullen on my damn notes here. But Randy Walters, he tried to lie and act like, you know, Afro Man's parody song ruined his marriage. And then this is the best part, the only witness that he called for his defense was literally that dude's ex-wife who said, nah. Like, it didn't, that song didn't have nothing to do with the reason our marriage ended. It was all Randy. Because, like, the song says, Randy Walters is a son of a bitch. Apparently, he was so horrible to her that she had to have a restraining order placed against him after their divorce. Even, like, the kids at the school would know about him. The lemon pound cake dude, that was hilarious. Because all the other stuff was, like, mean-spirited. But the lemon pound cake, when he was basically making fun of this one officer who walked through his kitchen, saw a lemon pound cake that Afro Man had in a, I forget what it's called. It's not a creche. Oh my God. I gotta remember the word. Hold on. Let me think. It was close. I was thinking of the word cloche. Creche comes from Baldur's Gate 3. I've been thinking about that game a lot lately. That's on my mind as well. Shout out to the Blacktop Collective, by the way, for their latest in their installation of videos. If you haven't seen it, go back to one of the previous episodes and find it in the description. It's hilarious. You guys are going to love it. The newest episode just came out this past week. It's also awesome. But anyway, Afro Man had this lemon pound cake in a cloche in his kitchen, and his one officer, kind of a heftier guy, just kept, like, while he's walking through the kitchen, looking at stuff, trying to supposedly investigate or whatever, if there's supposed to be a kidnapping victim and evidence of drugs and stuff in the house. But he walked inside a lemon pound cake and he's like, I'm gonna want me some of that. And so that song Lemon Pound Cake is basically done to the tune of Under the Boardwalk. And okay, so I'm laughing while I'm listening to the song, but he keeps including the video from the raid on his house because he had security cameras in his house, which they tried to disconnect. They lied and said they weren't doing that, but it's exactly what they were doing, and they got caught trying to disconnect them. Anyway, Lemon Pound Cake dude, when he was on the stand, he had to actually testify because Afro Man's lawyer is a thug. He said, how has this affected your life? Has anything happened to you personally because of the result of this song Lemon Pound Cake being released? He goes,
yeah, I got harassed at work. I don't know how many hundreds of pound cake they sent to the office.
Bro, imagine you get busted for some shit like that. They see you breaking into this man's house under the guise of doing an actual police investigation, and you get caught having a fat boy moment staring at his mama's lemon pound cake like, probably shouldn't steal the money, but he ain't gonna miss this cake. and then the community is just sending you pound cakes at work. Look, I'm not saying that fat shaming is a cool thing to do. I'm not saying that at all. All right? Some people have, you know, glandular issues. Some people have mental issues. Some people have legit eating disorders. That's not, I'm not saying to make fun of, you know, overweight people or anything like that. But this motherfucker had it coming. If you hadn't, and Afro Man said it, if they hadn't have done what they did, we wouldn't be here right now. But they, under false pretenses, broke into my home, violated my security, my sanctity, my privacy. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take these bad times and turn them into good times. So you damn right I have a right to make fun of them. I have a right to make those songs. And if they get what they get and they feel some kind of way about it, tough. That's my First Amendment right. He's like, and I think I was a sport about it because I didn't break into their house. And I was just sitting there listening to that testimony. I'm like, ooh, Afro Man, do it to him. That made my day better. And it's so great to see that. And it's one of those things where you, all that stuff, my mom used to say, all that stuff that's done in the shadows gets brought to light, right? I guess that's the lesson here. Nobody's perfect, you know what I mean? But like, you're doing something actively to harm somebody, that shit gonna come out. And that brings us to a fun little segment I thought up is I'm trying to go back into learning language and, you know, looking at, I've actually looked up some Pell Grants, hopefully, that I can use to take some language courses, you know, online, you know, community college kind of shit. But thinking about doing something fun and doing a Spanish and Korean word of the week, something that kind of fits the topic or some of the themes that are talked about in the podcast for that week. And we talk about a lot about people lying and trying to cover up shit or, you know, blatantly lying about something that's objectively provable and, you know, what they're saying is false. So I figure we pick the word liar. And we're going to give you, for those of you who, for maybe whatever reasons, don't know what the word liar means, I'm going to go ahead and you can hear me right now going to the Merriam-Webster's website. So the definition of the word liar is very simple: a person who tells lies. I don't know if I have to really spell that out for anybody, but I was going to do it just to do it, right? I did my due diligence on this part. So liar, a person who tells lies. Very simple and easy, right? So we know the word in English. What is the word, for example, in Spanish? Now, I didn't have to look this one up. I actually knew this word. My Spanish isn't the greatest, but I've got a fair to middling grasp of Spanish. And the word in Spanish is mentiroso. We'll say it again. Mentiroso. That's the word for liar in Spanish. That is also, you can also, that's the quote-unquote masculine form of the word. Mentirosa, obviously for the feminine version of that word, the feminine tense of that word. A person who lies. Mentiros. You probably heard it in like, you know, I think it was Sean Paul. Mentirosa, 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 mentirosa. It was him or Pitbull, one of them. I forget. Was it him? I'm probably talking out of the side of my face with that one. Okay, so I was right the second time around. It's actually called Shake, the Yin Yang Twins featuring Pitbull. Its subtitle is Mentirosa. But yeah, mentirosa, mentiroso, a liar, a liar. So for the Korean, this took me a little bit of work because obviously I speak next to no Korean. I know a couple little phrases that some of you may have known because, you know, you watch K-pop Demon Hunters or you've watched Bloodhounds or other K-dramas or K, you know, like Korean shows on Netflix or whatever. And this one was a little tougher because the pronunciation I had to kind of work with. The way I could get it was Koji Mao Jingi. Is it Koji? It's Koji Mao Jingi. Is it Koji Mao? No, I'm going to play this one again. Hold on one second. Let's see. All right, I'm going to try this again, trying to butcher it. Koji Mao Jingi. Koji Mao Jingi. So that's like the closest translation I could find for a liar in Korean. Koji Mao Jingi. Liar. So now we've got Spanish, mentiroso or mentirosa, and then Korean, Koji Mao Jingi. So that's our Spanish and Korean word for the week. Liar. Liar, liar, pants on. Ooh. Don't say fire. Fire, fire, fire. Sorry, that just came through my brain right now. But yeah, you know, we're talking about liars and, you know, the government. Like, can we break our lease with America? I feel like, you know, like when you have to break your lease because you live in a place and like, oh man, you know, the neighbors are doing crack cocaine on the front porch every day. And, you know, there's, you know, a bunch of pit bulls running around crazy. And you know, there's literally a meth lab in the basement. Like, I can't live here anymore. Or I got a job in another country. I got to break my lease. Can we break our lease with America and maybe more specifically the American government and be like, yeah, I just don't like the way they keep violating our civil rights, you know, the way they, you know, so blatantly and unabashedly lie and manipulate the truth and information to, you know, disillusion the people, disrupt the harmony of, you know, the United States, throw our economy into upheaval, get us locked into an illegal war when they're the no war people. Again, another lie we've been hearing. Can we break our lease with the government? I'd like to do that. I would like to go ahead and break the lease with America. I think we're well within our rights, right? We're well within our rights to do that. It's crazy. And break your lease with like Disney Plus and Xbox. Break your lease with all these other services and stuff that are lying to you. I think that's one of the easy ways to do it, right? Is to be like, oh, I don't like the fact that you were supposed to give me this, but now you're selling me that and telling me that it's my fault that I have to stick with this because you made... No, Amazon Prime throwing ads into everything now. Oh, you can pay us $4 more every month so that you don't have to have ads. Bitch, that's what I've been doing all this time. Where'd that money go? Oh, the Jeff Bezos' second wife? Nah, son. That sounds like rich people problems. My problem is I'm tired of having to watch Monarch with ads in the middle of it because y'all are some cheap bastards. That's what makes me mad. I'll tell you what's not cheap is Shave Tech. I was actually thinking about this too because I did shave today. I usually shave like once every 3 days, especially after the debacle I had with Dollar Shave Club's razors being like really chintzy and cheap lately. I decided to give Harry's another try. Now, this is not an ad and it's not necessarily a dig, just this is my experience. I picked up their what they called their plus or premium advantage pivoting system razor. It's all right. I mean, it's a razor. Comes with like an aluminum handle or something like that. Two blades to start with and a blade cover. I mean, the blade's kind of what you expect. You know, 3-4 blades. I think this one was a 4-blade razor. Little precision trimming strip that is, one, way too narrow, and two, way too recessed to really be effective. But, I mean, it does a job. I'm not saying the job. It does a job. I noticed since I started using it, it takes me about an extra 5 to 10 minutes to shave with it because it doesn't get as clean a sweep on a single pass as even the Bobo version of Dollar Shave Club razors that I had were doing a better job at a single pass than the Harry's. But I don't know, man. Like, it's crazy that you start to see, like, a company do a good job and Dollar Shave Club is doing great, but then they decided to switch it up on us. The blades were a cheaper quality. They were spaced out a little bit further, and they did something weird with like their little, they have like a little moisturizing strip that's supposed to keep your skin from getting destroyed when you're doing this thing that's going to destroy your skin anyways, which is shaving. But this goopy orange strip that's on there, I mean, it comes off like orange fiber. And it's stuck all to the back of my head, neck, and shit like that. And I'm like, I'm trying to wash it off, and it feels like it's been glued to me. And it's like, yeah, this isn't great. So I tried Harry's, and they have a blue strip. And it is equally shit. Like it will do the job. You will be working for it. Like, it's going to feel like a job to shave. It'll feel like more of a chore than it already is. Which is unfortunate. So if you got any recommendations for a good piece of shave tech, particularly one that can work on your head and in the hard-to-reach areas or hard-to-style areas, like just under your nose, the edge of your lip, which I like to trim the edge of my lip to keep the hair from curling down into my mouth when I'm eating or drinking anything, or especially like around your ears, because a bald dude, you're trying to shave. The last thing he wants is one little sandy patch of prickly hair right at where the top of your ear meets the side of your head. That's a hard part to get into, and to do that without cutting yourself or nicking your ears. If you got any recommendations, I'd love to hear them. Again, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Free to go ahead and join up over there and follow me and send me an email. I totally would love to hear your ideas. And let me know what you think about the Spanish/Korean word of the week. Do you like this? Do you want to see more? Do you want it to be a themed thing? Or do you want to suggest them yourself? Let me know. I'd love to hear that. A couple little fun bits while we were closing this out. I did the thing. I think I may have mentioned it. I had to get the oil changed in the vehicle. Got that done yesterday with no incident. It was the last one that we had in our service plan. And it was like, all right, well, that's cool. They did a great job as always, you know. I think they even washed the car, which is really nice. Changed the air filter. I mean, they do top-notch work over there at AutoNation Ford, Blanding Boulevard. Go ahead and shout them out too while we're at it. So yeah, that got knocked out. But the funky thing was, like, there's a recall on one of the parts of the car. They're like, this is more like a technical maintenance thing that sometimes it'll happen, sometimes it won't. But they're like, no, we don't do loaners for that. And if we were going to do the repair on the car, we probably have to leave it overnight or whatever. I'm like, you only need, if it's this recall, if I bring this thing in the morning, I should have this joint back by like the end of the day. But if I need to do some stuff and this is a problem and I end up, you know, getting into an accident or having some other issue because of this damn little technical issue that you guys baked into this vehicle, like, who's going to pay for that? Like, this isn't my issue, but you have this recall. And the least you could do is, I don't even need a Mustang, bro. I don't even need the Mustang. I just need a vehicle to drive around. I got groceries to pick up. I got errands to run. You know what I mean? I got shit I got to do. Like, why do I have to wait to get back to my car, or, you know, I don't know. It just felt like this is one of those moments where it's a recall. It's not like I did something to the car. I didn't bring it in for service or some kind of, you know, I'm not asking you to put like underground effects or anything like that, you know, or a lighting kit on this or put a new body kit on it. This is something that Ford fucked up. So Ford should have to eat some of this and be like, hey, man, give me a Focus for the day. I'm cool with that. I used to drive a Focus. It don't hurt my feelings. But they're like, no, we can come and take your car from you and then drop it off when we're done. I'm like, hell no. First of all, I don't even like leaving the car where I can't see it. You know what I mean? With people being, knowing that people are going to be in it. Like if I was going to get the car detailed, I need to be able to see everybody in that car. I need to know if you're pulling something out of my glove compartment, if you're taking change out of my little ashtray. I need to know if you're playing with my umbrella. I want to know if you moved the seat back, if you move it back to where it was. You know, shit like that. So no, I don't want you driving this car around. Who knows what y'all going to do? You going to pick it up, put it on a flatbed truck and take it? Or are you going to drive it from my house to wherever? I would assume it's going to be on a flatbed and they're going to drive my vehicle, but... You know, it's just weird shit like that. Like, this is a recall. What if this is a more, you know, more deleterious effect that I could have because of this recall part or whatever? Now, what, you're going to be still, I'm going to just not have a car till y'all decide you're fixing it or whatever? Nah. Miss me and all that shit. That was annoying. It's a thing that, and then they offered a service. They offered that valet service. We're not going to give you a loaner vehicle, you know, but we'll definitely come and pick up your car and leave you without one. Shit, you thought. I will set up camp at the dealership. I'll get a sleeping bag and a tent, and I'll wait right here. I'll make this real uncomfortable for both of us. Damn that. Damn that. I know it's a first world problem complaint kind of thing, but I mean, come on, man, really? This wasn't my fault. That's just a minor gripe, though. That's a minor gripe. The becoming a general contractor after you buy a home is something else. I fixed my wife's, I fixed the lock catch on my wife's French door, which was awesome, by the way. There's something that's really cool. That's not a bad thing, by the way. Like learning all this stuff that you may not have ordinarily known about how to fix and repair things around the house is a cool thing to know. And it's fun to be able to find something, whether you find like a walkthrough on the internet or you find like a YouTube video. Or you know somebody who can tell you how to do a thing. There's something really cool about being able to fix stuff yourself, man. I talked about being able to repair your cars and electronics and stuff like that in the past, but like just being able to fix stuff around your house makes you feel real good, you know? There's a certain sense of accomplishment in being like, yeah, I did that. I did that. That was pretty dope. I learned a thing and I did a thing, you know? I don't have the solution for the 82nd Airborne being deployed to Iran. I don't know how to, you know, restructure the tax code here in the United States. I don't know how to solve the food deserts that we have. But I mean, I can, you know, I can replace the door handle on my bathroom. I mean, I can't solve the big world problems, but I can fix this thing right here that would irritate me otherwise. I could do that. And there's something kind of nice to be said about being able to do that. It's also nice when you see people put in a little bit of extra effort. This is a shout out for real to the folks over at Your Pie Pizza in Fleming Island, especially the homie Justin. That combination of a great product with excellent customer service is a winning combination. Granted, gluten-free anything is going to be significantly more expensive than any other regular, quote-unquote, regular food product. But Your Pie made it actually a relatively inexpensive experience. And I mean, a wealth of toppings without charging you an arm and a leg. I mean, the one place I looked at was like, it's a $2 upcharge for every topping. So I could just have a regular ass cheese pizza and it's going to be, you know, $6 more if I want like olives, black, you know, if I want black olives, bell peppers, and mushrooms, an additional $6 on top of a pizza that's already going to be $18-$20. So by the time this is done, it's $30 for a 10-inch pizza. Get the fuck out of here. Your Pie Pizza, on the other hand, again, it is a little bit more expensive than the regular, you know, flour crust or whatever. But the pie came in, the toppings were robust, they covered the thing from edge to edge. It was cooked to perfection. The only complaint would have been add a little bit more marinara sauce when you put all the stuff down. Other than that, it was spectacular. I mean, and the service on the other hand, it took what would have been like a 9 out of 10 experience to like a 9.8 experience, because Justin, when I called, was trying to order some chicken wings to go with the pie, and he goes, "Yeah, it was grayed out on our website because we didn't have them, but let me go take a look. I'll be right back. Put me on hold." Ran into the freezer, came back. He's like, "Hey, I went and updated our website. They should be available for you to order right now. And if they're not, you can give me a call. Ask for me. I'll be here until we close, and I'll get them ordered up and put onto your order for you. You can just pay for those in person when you get here if you can't order them online." So top-notch service, Justin. You're a credit to your organization. You're a credit to yourself and your parents. I appreciate you. Your Pie Pizza, awesome place. Great pizza. Awesome wings. Oven-fired wings. They were actually really fantastic. I love them. And I will definitely order them again because they're so good. And even for the cost of, you know, food and everything being high, as you know, giraffe necks, it's still, it was worth it. And it was a great experience. So shout outs to them. Thank you guys so much for making that a great and easy experience to deal with. Like, a lot of places give you grief when you do gluten-free stuff, but not these folks. Not these folks. They're looking out for us. I appreciate it. And then we're going to wrap it up with this one little thing. Kimari finally caught a lizard on the back porch. The little great gray hunter, little half ass, has been enjoying the ability to sit out on the back porch and sit in the sun, or at least in the outside air. And the other day, one little anole crept underneath there. And oh boy, did her kitty cat instincts kick in. And she cornered this little guy. And she had him on the run. I was talking to my mom. I'm like, "Ooh, mom, I got to call you right back." Because at first it moved so fast. And you know, lizards, they kind of run in like a zigzag pattern. I thought she had caught a snake. The scary thing about that is, you know, this is Florida. There's a lot of like dark colored snakes that could show up. Most of them are kind of harmless. You know, like a regular rat snake or a garter snake. Some of them is not. Like a baby cottonmouth or, you know, a small, like, you know, especially when they're little, sometimes their coloration can be really bright. Sometimes it can be really dark, like, you know, a copperhead or something like that, or a baby pygmy rattler. And so I saw it was just an anole. I'm like, "All right, cool." So then I just basically just put my foot over it. Didn't stomp it, but put my foot on it to keep it pinned down a little bit. And shooed Kimari away so she didn't try to eat the damn thing. And then just kind of booted him right out the door. But I was proud of my little gray butt. Yeah, she actually did cat for once. And she did a great job. So congratulations to Kimari. You're the best. Love you, little biscuits. And I love you guys too. Thank you so much for another wonderful episode. Thank you for all the shares, follows. Thank you for the emails that you send. I want to get some more emails. I actually had an email of mine read on two podcasts over the past 2 weeks, the Monday Morning Podcast with Bill Burr, and also the BS with Brian Simpson podcast with Brian Simpson. So check both of those out as well. Not for me, but just because they're great podcasts and they're awesome comedians. I'm going to get out of here. It's time for me to get set up and ready for stream. And that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Wandering One Podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios. Remember, comments, questions, concerns, just want to talk some shit, hit patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Follow for free. Send me an email. Let me know what you think about it. If you want to support the podcast, you can sign up and follow for $3. There's going to be 2 bonus episodes. I meant to do them earlier. Things have been a little weird, but I do have at least one of them already recorded. So that one will release on Thursday, and another one will release very soon. And there's also behind-the-scenes content of the new project that I'm working on. So that's available for paid subscribers only. That's my way of saying thank you and giving you a little peek behind the curtain. So take advantage of those perks when you have them. I'm trying to make more of them happen as we go. I'm out of here, guys. Love you. Be good. Be good at it. I had another thing I was going to say, but I'm going to just say, you know, call your mom. You know, talk to a family member or friend. Go outside. Go outside and check it out. It's starting to warm up a little bit, so hopefully you can go outside, hang out a little bit, and drink some water. I'll catch up with you wanderers a little further down the road. Peace.